Don't just listen to the audio of Survivor Know-It-Alls. You can watch the video of tonight's show at our YouTube channel. Go to robhasawebsite.com/YouTube and subscribe to never miss an episode of Survivor Know-It-Alls.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, Survivor Know-It-Alls live here on a Wednesday night post a double elimination. And here is my main amigo. Here he is, Mr. Stephen Fishback.
Hey, Rob. Great to see you again. Big episode, you know, craziness. First half kind of predictable, but second half very unpredictable. I was, I really had no idea how it was going to go down. It was kind of, it was intense.
Yes, our top story at this hour, it is the end of Andrea, a big blindside here tonight that we did not see coming. A blindside with a hidden immunity idol, and we're waiting for our fact checks to come back that I believe the first time ever a woman was voted out with a hidden immunity idol, so a survivor first here tonight. We're going to break down everything from Andrea's perspective, from Cochran's perspective, from Brenda's perspective, from Ice Cream Scooper Eric's perspective. We're going to talk about what the hell is Eddie doing jumping off for a donut. Great episode of Survivor tonight, Stephen.
Yeah, big episode. This season has really delivered. You know, after a very slow start, really getting very great moments and some epic moments tonight. Certainly, we had Andrea's attempted blindside and then being blindsided. It was good television. No question about that.
And this show is an interactive experience. If you're liking this season of Survivor, give this video a thumbs up. If you're watching it on YouTube, let us know that you're liking the show. Also, we are live here on robhasawebsite.com. So we've got the chat room going. I'm reading your comments. Let's see. What are you guys saying right now? Nothing good yet. Let's see. I wonder if Rob's hair will be grown out soon. So,
My God, I'm envious of that mane. Jeez.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. So that's what you guys are saying here live right now. We're also taking your tweets, at hashtag RHAP. We'll bring them up on the show. And Jessica Frey is watching everything. Going to bring up the best questions later on the show. But Stephen, let's start out with Andrea, who was in quite a good position for a majority of this game, suddenly is out here tonight, Stephen, day 32. What went wrong for Andrea? Let's start there.
Well, I think Andrea, coming into this season, she I think was really affected by having the stigma of being one of Rob's zombies, and I think like for a lot of the returning players, you have this like this cloud hanging over them of how do I correct the mistakes that I made last time? And I think Andrea, straight from the get-go, was like, I'm not going to be a zombie. I'm going to be a decision-maker. I'm going to be active. I'm going to make moves. And it almost, she just played a little bit too hard. She made moves that were a little bit too big, a little bit too fast. And it worked out for her for most of the season when, the favorites had this kind of unbeatable majority. But, as soon as rubber hit the road, she was someone they wanted to get rid of. She was too crafty.
Yeah, she wanted the big move so badly. That's all. Every vote with her was, all right, blindside time. Let's do another blindside. And it's like she got she was like addicted to the blindside. You take like one taste of it and, every vote now, it's like she had to get that blindside high every time. And if you want to do a blindside every single vote, that's no longer a blindside. That's a predictable side.
Well, it's true. I mean, when she was arguing to vote off Brenda instead of Eddie, she was like, wouldn't it be funnier or something? Wouldn't it be better? Not the most compelling rationale for when you're that close to $1 million, 6 days away here from the finale. So, and I think, too, she didn't do a good job of concealing her cards. She very straightforward, like very clear that she wanted to bring Eddie with her. Maybe she thought she was being coy about that, the way she said things like, well, I don't think Eddie would win, do you? Maybe he wouldn't beat us. Like, she's just missing that extra step of actually being deceptive. You know, it's like when your dog does something bad and he's got the look on his face that he's done something bad. She always had that look, but she just done something bad.
You know, it's funny because Andrea was very tight with Philip throughout the game. Now Philip is gone, and Philip, you know, famously all season long talked about the BR rules, but I kind of feel like Andrea was playing the BR rules here. I mean, she wanted the blind side just about every single vote that she had input on. She liked doing that. And I wonder if she kind of felt like Eddie was her Natalie Tenorelli. I think for Andrea, she saw Eddie as the guy who's going to be in the final three and going to get zero votes. And she felt like that could have been her Natalie that she could have brought along. And I think that she was trying to recreate Boston Rob's game plan as well, just didn't talk about it as much as Philip did.
But now who was her Philip?
Philip was her Philip.
But then when she gets down to it, and you know, I think too, I think there's a problem when you have a very tight-knit group of people and one person tries very concretely to bring power for themselves. You know, that's going to backfire. I think that her move with Eddie, it was so obvious. You know, not only is Eddie her Natalie Tenorelli, Eddie's an extra vote that she controls, especially now that Ranald is gone. So I think that, you know, for her to start even talking about keeping Eddie around, it's not like they control Eddie's vote. I think it's very clear to everybody that she controls Eddie's vote. And, you know, it's a very hard move to pull off. Maybe Boston Rob can do it. Andrea cannot.
Yeah. Can we say that not only has Eddie sabotaged his own game all season long, he also sabotaged Andrea's game?
Well, Eddie's game is flawless, right? He is playing the Natalie Tenorelli game, you know? Just like, who wouldn't want to go with Eddie and Sherry into the final, right?
Yeah. So I thought it was odd that Andrea wanted to start to target Brenda right after that long immunity challenge. And I was actually they really faked me out. I thought Brenda was gone. I'm like, okay, I'm thinking of questions I'm going to ask Brenda tomorrow morning. I thought Brenda is done. And it turns out that they ended up voting off Reynolds. But were you surprised that she was that quick to turn on Brenda?
Well, I really wasn't surprised at all because, you know, we saw Andrea turn on Corinne, you know, in the pre-merge. And it's like another cute, flirty girl, right? And like, I think Andrea is there. She wants to be the cute, flirty girl. And you have Brenda there, but you know, once Malcolm is gone and you know Ranald is sort of on the outs, suddenly it doesn't seem like you know anyone is really that threatening. You know, Andrea's probably feeling very comfortable. Why not take out her competition, who is like the other young, cute girl who can compete in balance challenges? And I think it's you know maybe even more essential than just you know. I don't think she really thinks Brenda is a threat. I don't know, Rob. You think she's threatened by Brenda?
I think she definitely was. I mean, she said it was because that Brenda went the distance with her in the challenge and didn't just give it to her, which I guess is a good clue that Brenda's like, hey, let's play this out. But I don't think that Brenda had a master plan. We'll talk more about Brenda later. Did you get the sense that Brenda was coming after Andrea? It seemed like Andrea misread that signal.
Well, to be fair, Brenda did keep repeatedly suggest Andrea's name in the, you know, the Big Three Amigos Tribal Council.
Oh, that's fair.
So, you know, I think there was definitely some tension there between them. And I really think that it probably came down to being the two young, cute girls. I really think that there was like a, you know, they probably both didn't like each other, you know.
Okay. So for Andrea, let's just try to talk this through. What was her plan if we see her plan through to the end here? So at getting
who's
down.
Her final three, right?
Yeah. So if we get down, she wants to get rid of Brenda. So now Brenda's gone at final six. Then what's her next move? Sherry? Or Dawn.
She wants Dawn gone.
So I guess she wants Dawn gone, and then she wants Sherry gone, and then she's at the final four with Cochran, Eddie, Dawn, and Eric. Or sorry, Cochran, the three guys, and herself.
So she wanted Sherry gone. Is that a sure thing?
I mean, I guess is she going to get rid of Cochran or Eric before Sherry?
Maybe Eric. You know, it seems like they all kind of like Sherry. So, you know, I think that it's interesting that she was telling Cochran. I mean, and she and Cochran have seemed very close this entire time. And she's been very, and I wonder if she really had Cochran as a finals partner, you know, if not out of strategy, out of friendship. I wonder about that. Like, does Andrea think she can beat Cochran, and could she have beaten Cochran?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and let's segue to Cochran, because the big place where this whole thing turned tonight was Andrea says to Cochran, I don't know, who should we blindside? I'm feeling like a blindside, like she's ordering pizza. Where should we get it from here? Should we get it from there? I feel like blindside tonight. What do you want to do? You want to do Dawn? I don't even care who we're blindsiding. Right. So, and basically Cochran spills the beans, which we've seen many a bean spilt even since Brandon Hance has left. In this season, what do you think? Did Cochran make the right move here by getting rid of Andrea?
I think that, yeah, for sure. Cochran had this confessional about how he wasn't in Andrea's final three plans. And we didn't really see anything to back that up. But, you trust his assessment of his own position in the game, right? Maybe... And it's true, right? If Eddie's got a spot in Andrea's final three, then that's just one spot for somebody else. And I think when you're at this stage of the game, there's eight players left, you really have to be thinking, who's actually going to take me to the end game? Who can I beat when I'm there? Who can I trust, too? And I think for Cochran, who is, one of the more strategic players left, who do I know that I can outplay? And if Andrea, as you say, is making blindside after blindside, the next big target is going to be him at some point. And I think that's definitely the right move to cut her out now. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, I have to say, not to go back to my season, because I'm not sure how many people remember the particulars, but I kind of feel like this was sort of like a situation that I was in when Dina and Alex were sort of trying to target each other. And it's like, boy, I'm probably in the final, the final grouping that they're thinking of for both of these people, but I have to make a choice of who am I going to go with. And for once she brings up Dawn, Cochran can't go against Dawn. So he's got to go with the group that is keeping his strongest ally around in the game.
Well, Cochran also identified Dawn two episodes ago as someone that he could beat in the finals. And it's interesting that Andrea has a different assessment of that. And I wonder if it's once again, this kind of cloud of previous, judging people based on, more their reputation than on their actual gameplay, right? And I think that's kind of been hanging over everybody this season.
Okay, well, let's talk about Ice Cream Scooper Eric. And he came up a lot tonight. I mean, he wins the immunity necklace. So yeah. good for Ice Cream Scooper Eric. Now, we've debated on this show previously, Steven, that you feel like Eric has strategy. And was he throwing the challenges before this?
I mean, I would love, when you've got him on the show, Rob, I want you to ask him.
Because... Oh, everybody's going to say, every survivor, you ever say, yeah, I meant to do that. No survivor is ever going to sit here and tell me, you know what, Rob, actually, I did not know what I was doing. It was completely.
I don't think that's true. I think Eric will be honest.
No.
People thought I was throwing challenges, and I fessed up to just being horrible. I don't agree with you. There's been some that have been so outrageous, but some he's competed in and some he hasn't. It seems he hasn't.
So which is it, Steven? Was he not trying his hardest before this and then realized, hey, final seven, got to turn on the afterburners, Eric mode, activate. And then he went into that. Or was it he really was trying every time and this time he actually won, which would speak to the fact that he does not have a master plan.
Well, I don't think whether or not he's throwing challenges or not might not disqualify him from having a master plan. It's hard to say. I don't think there's this dichotomy between Eric as a strategic genius versus Eric has no strategy whatsoever. I think he's got he's probably got some basic idea of what he's doing, and it's not like. It's not calculus out there, right?
What is he doing? What is he going for? I mean, Andrea comes and talks to him. It seems like Andrea has his trust. He's been at Andrea's side for most of the game. Yet he votes against Andrea tonight. And again, we do this right after the show, so I don't have that confirmed, but I'm pretty sure he voted against Andrea tonight. So what is he thinking?
Andrea. I think he might have voted for Eddie, or Andy. He definitely voted with the majority alliance, whatever.
Okay, whatever. So he went against Andrea's wishes. Why? Isn't it better for him to keep Andrea in the game?
Well, I think it's better for him to do what the most people are doing, and it's like Andrea and Eddie are on the outs, and for him to go and run and tell Andrea, she's going to freak out. He might get caught in the crossfire. I think that's definitely the move, to go... Eric has played this whole game just by by playing the Sanders strategy, right? Like, well, whoever the majority is going with, I'm voting with them. Why would he now go into this minority group with freaking Eddie? You know, Eddie, who's like, you know, possibly a physical threat. We'll maybe someday we'll see that. And he's a total dolt, you know? Like, Eddie is like his dark shadow, you know, the even more doltish version. I just don't see why he would do that.
All right. Speaking of Eric, I know you want to talk about this. TJ in the chat room says, did Eric hand over the idol to Andrea or did she take it from him? Steven.
I have strong opinions on this, Rob. Eric grabs the idol from the dirt and is holding it in his hand. And Andrea reaches into his hand and grabs it. And that actually is theft. Then you have this like cute confessional from Cochran about like, Andrea, isn't it funny that Eric's once again handing over immunity idols?
But what is like, he, C-3PO?
So on my season, Survivor Token Sheens, there was a lot of debate about immunity idol possession. And I actually had an idol, and at one point, Taj took it from me without my consent. And I went to production, and I said, what's the deal? Who owns this idol? And production said to me, you know, you own the idol. So even though Taj actually had it, that was my idol. And at any point in time, I could have said to production, you need to give this, I need to get this back. I could have forced her to give it to me. And I think, you know, with these things, probably, you know, no one's going to make a big stink about it. And, you know, if Eric isn't making a stink about it, they're not going to. But, you know, he definitely did steal it.
Couple of things. One, Eric isn't like, hey, Lego my ego with the idol. So I don't think that Eric ever felt like that was his idol. And I maintain my position that if Taj takes your idol when you're not looking in Survivor 18 is one thing. If, let's say, Malcolm steals Sherry's idol on Survivor 26, I think that maybe that flies. So I think it's a, I think it's a as it happens basis. If you if you pickpocket the idol from somebody, production might say, hey, you know, we're gonna let that go. That was, you know, that's good TV. We're gonna keep that. I just think that it's not as cut and dry as it says here in the bylaws that possession is not 9/10 of the law, and it's my idol, so I get that back. I'm sure that I don't doubt that happened in your particular instance, but I think it's more of a case by case basis in modern day Survivor.
I just think that if someone objects strongly, they're going to have to like obey by the stated rules of the idol. You know, I think, and it's just like Eric is clearly not going to object. To some degree, that's to Eric's credit. You know, it's not him being ignorant that he doesn't create a big fuss over this idol. That's him being strategic. You know, someone who's, you know, and I think that's a sign almost of Andrea's bad play. For me, this is like representative of her whole gameplay, is that she grabs the idol. And it's like, that's not an elegant thing to do. You know, it puts a target on her. It makes her look bad. It's aggressive. And I think that's, kind of the way she's overplayed this whole game. You know, it's great that she has the idol, but the way she went about getting it is a little bit shady, and people see that.
Okay, we'll see. It was a blatant idol grab, but I think she felt like, hey, it was my clue. Everybody, they were helping me find the idol. I mean, yeah, you're right. It's Eric's place to say, here you go. Here is your idol, Andrea. But she did kind of, he did hold it up and she sort of snatched it away. But I don't think it was as big of a deal as you did.
Well, if it were me in Eric's position, I would have gone to the producers for sure.
Now, hold on. Anyway. Now, can Eric, if Eric does that, don't you think that puts a bigger target on his back to say, hey, it's my idol. I found it.
Well, you just want to know, right? You just want to, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think it's good that Eric didn't object in the moment. But I think, maybe he mentions to the producers, maybe as Andrea is walking out, he's like, hey, by the way, send that back over this way because that's mine.
Yeah, I just think that even if he does that, I think he's putting a big target on his back. Like, oh, my God, Eric is such a jerk about the idol. It's clearly Andrea's idol. So that's no good. All right, let's talk about Brenda. Is my girl Brenda back? Is this the new adventures of old Brenda, Steven? I thought she was dead in the first half. And now, like a zombie, she's back from the dead and looking a little lifelike, Steven. Is this the old Brenda?
Yeah, she seemed animated tonight, right? She had her big blindside that she pulled off that she's been wanting to do all for a while. And, she had her cute, adorable challenge, decide She chose to make the challenge harder on herself than she had to. Just great, the whole thing.
I thought tonight she was looking a little bit like a player. So good for Brenda looking back a little lifelike. But who do we give the credit to? I saw a little bit of people were debating on Twitter a little bit of whose plan was this to take out Andrea? Was this Cochran's plan or this was Brenda's plan?
I think it gets skewed because Cochran got about 80% of the confessionals tonight. I think it looks like it's more Cochran's plan than it is. And I think it was a sort of a group plan, right? Cochran relays this information. Dawn suggests they blinds at Andrea. You know, Brenda confirms it. And I think that's, I just think that like that kind of group dynamic often gets lost. And it's something I've like been, I know I've been banging the drum a lot in our podcast together, but it really seems to me like it was a decision by consensus.
I think it's Cochran's plan. I think it's Cochran's plan at the moment he goes back and tells Brenda that Andrea is saying, he's a smart guy. Cochran knows once he tells Brenda and Dawn, hey, Andrea was going for both of you. And then, whoa, she's going, oh, no, she didn't. Yeah. I'm going right. to, like, that wasn't what happened. But
that's absolutely right. That's fair. That's definitely true. Like, as soon as that's, yeah, you don't tell someone that if you want to, like, maintain the alliance.
Yeah. It's like, hey, just be cool. She wants to get rid of you, but I still think we should get rid of, oh, no. Oh, no. You know, you don't tell Brenda that somebody's going after her. Yeah.
No. You know, I was most impressed by Cochran, actually, was at Tribal Council, where, I don't know. Tell me what you think of this moment. To me, I was like, wow, that's amazing. But like, maybe you'll think it's like not that cool. So Andrea's got the idol in her pocket. You know, everyone knows she's super paranoid. You don't want to set Andrea off. And Probst asks Cochran, you know, what is the deal with Andrea's idol? Like, what does this make you think? And Cochran, like totally stone-faced, is like, yeah, you know, she's got to play at one of these tribal councils. She doesn't have many opportunities to play. You know, might as well play it tonight. I mean, he doesn't really say that, but, like, the fact that he's so even-keeled and stone-faced, I was very impressed by because, you know, I think that anything less than a perfect performance might have, you know, tricked.
You know, it was a very interesting tribal council. I thought very candid comments from Cochran and from Andrea there. Very, very interesting and very telling. I mean, both Cochran and Andrea admit tonight that not only have they been suspicious of people in their own alliance lying, they've also been lying to other people in the game. And yeah. Andrea even, you know, says, Cochran, I'll see what you're saying. I'll raise you. I have the hidden immunity idol.
Right. I mean, although, everyone knew she had the idol at that point, so it wasn't like she was.
Yeah, Malcolm was besides himself, though.
Yeah, because he had been looking for that so hard. He was like, you know.
Yeah, Malcolm making a push for best juror so far. He was really, he's like, oh, my God. Very expressive on the jury, Malcolm.
Yeah, he's got to compete for those fan favorite votes, and just isn't getting the airtime. So you know, every expression counts on that jury.
Yeah, yeah. The other jurors have been a little, not too impressive.
So, we have the tongue out.
Yeah, Philip has done very little on the jury. Also, I'm a little disappointed with Philip on the jury.
Yeah, he looked kind of bummed out about the whole Andrea thing. You know, understandable, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we have a whole other tribal council that we haven't even talked about in this episode. So, let's finish up with Brenda. So, are we feeling like Brenda could make a push here? I mean, final six now for Brenda. She's done better than she did in Nicaragua now by a considerable margin. I just don't know what her alliance is.
Wait, is it six?
Are we down to? Yeah, we're down to six now.
Okay.
Yeah, we got Cochran, Eddie, Eric, Brenda, Dawn, and Sherry.
Okay.
Yeah, two people go out tonight, Stephen.
It's hard to keep track. There's so many.
Final six. Here's the schedule. Final six. Next week, we'll get down to five on Survivor Know-It-Alls. And then on Sunday, May 12th, we'll crown a winner of Survivor Karamoan. Boom. Survivor offseason. How do you like that?
I think Malcolm will re-enter the game.
No, not enough time, Stephen.
Yeah.
Not enough time.
It's for Big Brother, maybe.
Yeah, so this is Big Brother Canada. Surely, yes. And the rapture is upon us here in May. Four reality TV finales over the course of the next 18 days. So we have a lot to do. But let's stick with Brenda here tonight. Do we think that Brenda could make a move here? Is she a player?
What if Brenda's, What do you think her? I don't know why I keep saying that. What do you think her game plan is? Is it, who is Brenda's ideal partnership to the end? Dawn is one of them.
Dawn, and that's a question of who is her number three. I mean, let's play it. Is it A, Cochran?
Right.
Possible. Is it B, Eric?
Also possible. We just don't know.
Is it Sherry?
Sherry, who knows, right? Who knows?
I mean, don't you think that doesn't it seem like Dawn and Sherry should be closer than they apparently are? We don't ever see them, but they both seem like they're around the same age. It's like if you were friends with Dawn and Sherry, you would say, "Oh, hey, Dawn, I should introduce you to my friend Sherry. I think you would like her." But they don't seem, you don't ever see them together.
Maybe Sherry's not the emotional wreck that Dawn is. You know, maybe she got tired of consoling her.
Maybe she feels like, I can't do it. Were you surprised that Dawn was so quick to go along with the plan, although even though they ended up not doing it, she seemed to strongly consider the plan to vote out Brenda from after the retainer gate of I will never vote you out. I have your back 100%.
Did she? I didn't think that she was trying to, that she was really considering that at all. Did it look to you like she was? I didn't get that. I honestly got that she was just playing along with Andrea, kind of.
No, well, I mean, I thought Brenda was going home, so I was completely, I was buying what Dawn was putting down.
Interesting. No, all right. Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, I think, you know, But Dawn has been very loyal to her alliance. I guess Andrea has been her alliance until Andrea targets Dawn. I wonder if Dawn would ever have turned on Andrea.
Okay. So let's do our power rankings real quick. Who's in the best position, Steven?
It looks like Cochran, right? Cochran's got ties with everybody. You know, he says he controls Eric. He's obviously got his thing with Dawn. You know, who's yeah. What do you think?
Right, I agree. Cochran is number one. Who's number two in the power rankings? Is it Brenda?
What is the power rankings measuring exactly?
The likelihood to win.
Likelihood to win.
Who's in the best spot right now?
It might be Brenda. But is Brenda... Brenda
number two in the Survivor power rankings tonight?
Well, hold on a second. What about Eddie? Because if Eddie makes it to the end...
Eddie is seventh. No. Yes. Eddie is seventh.
Likelihood to win is the question. Likelihood to win is the question. So if Eddie makes it to the end, can he win? Yes.
No, he will get two votes from the bros, and that is it. We will not waste.
Andrea?
Really? We're not going to waste time talking about Eddie's chances. Eddie is seventh in the power rankings. All right, who's third? Who's third in the power rankings? Is it Dawn?
Eric. I think Eric's second.
You think Eric? You want to put Eric over Brenda?
Why is Brenda so much better than Eric? I don't see the difference.
Because I've seen Brenda play the game before strategically, and I have not ever seen this from Eric.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's all past. Gotta look in the present here, Rob. The present.
Well, I don't know the future. I only have the past to judge people on. I have seen Eric give away individual immunity at the Final Five. I have never seen Brenda even consider such a thing.
That's because she's never been at the Final Five.
Yeah, not yet. Here she goes. Yeah. Brenda is she easily could have won two endurance immunities. Those are huge there. Eric, he won an impressive immunity tonight. I don't have a huge problem with Eric at three, but you gotta give, okay. You gotta work with me and give me Brenda at two.
Okay. All right. Deal.
See?
Dawn is four.
Or we could do the rest of this podcast on one leg. And then we could do it that way. And whoever falls out of their chair. Okay, so Dawn is four. Are we missing somebody? No. Dawn, and then Sherry is five.
And then you got Eddie.
Eddie is six.
I think Eddie's chance to win the game, I think, is better than Sherry's. Might be better than Dawn's. Might be better than Brenda's.
Come on. Why are you just trolling me right now, Fishback? Why would you say that?
I'm just saying it's about the votes. It's like Fabio. He's like the Fabio of Karamoan.
If this was a donut eating contest, I would agree. But there's no way, even if he got to the final three, Steven, nobody's going to vote for this guy.
Malcolm and Reynolds might.
No, he's a dud, Steven. He's a dud. No, stop. Put the eyebrow away. All right, let's talk about the vote. Reynolds is sort of, forgotten a bit here in this wild second tribal council. He ends up going out. They puts on a valiant effort, But sadly, Reynolds has to go.
Yeah, you know, it was great to see, but it was not. He was not competitive in that first immunity challenge at all. I actually, you know, I don't hate the Cochran giving up for food, you know, because like he's not going to win that challenge. I think it's fine that he gives up.
Yeah,
right?
Cochran's got to like weaken his perception of a challenge threat here. He's got to like start to. He had a bunch of hot dogs. I had no problem with Cochran. Look, I did the same thing on Survivor and an endurance competition. It's like, you know what? Go out there, show up. If your back is against a wall, you don't get to eat at any point, okay? If you know you're safe, go out there, show a good effort, don't show anybody up, and right before you're about to lose, go get something to eat. That's how you do this. Eddie, you're on the block. Don't jump off 2 minutes in for a donut.
Right. And, you know, obviously the counter argument is, you know, well, you never know you're fully safe. But I think if you're good, you do know when you're safe or you're not safe.
Yeah. So, but Reynolds, who I liked most of the season, I have to say, was sad to see him go. I felt like compared to Eddie, and I guess who isn't compared to Eddie, thought he was the much better player.
Oh, Reynolds was the standout character for the fans, right? He was the top dog. I would love to see Reynolds play again. He was great. He had so much love for the game and enthusiasm. I mean,
fans, you know, versus favorites three. Steven, is Reynolds back?
He's the new Eric, except this time, yeah, except he wins.
Good. Very excited to see Reynolds on Survivor 36. Fans versus favorites three. That'll be very exciting. Yeah. Okay. So one last thing about Reynolds. Why does, like, Dawn said, we need to get rid of Reynolds for my brain. What is Reynolds doing that is hurting Dawn's brain?
I think he just stresses her out, you know?
Why? He's like a nice guy.
Because I think it's just a weakness in the favorites. And honestly, like, look at these favorites and, like, the way they've gotten here. They have had a really easy ride, right? I mean, like, they have had no competition, basically. That, you know, Philip kept them together. He like forced that alliance together. He kept them together. They were, you know, physically dominant. They basically had no real threats except for Malcolm once. They just haven't really had any serious challenges. And it's like, you know, that's why it's kind of like suggests some weakness in them as a whole, right?
Steven,
like,
are you suggesting that that survivors who win fans versus favorite seasons have an easier, you're saying that we should like put an asterisk next to the winners of fans versus favorite seasons in overall rankings?
That's absolutely not what I'm saying, Rob. I think, you know, every season has its own dynamics, and you know, anyone who wins obviously, like, you know, benefits from those, and you know, there's luck involved no matter what. But you know, it's just like, it's interesting that I think there are people who did well this season, you know, who obviously were not, you know, who stepped up in a big way. But I think the next few weeks are really going to show us, like, who actually has game, you know, and who's not just going with the herd.
Yeah. I mean, I think of the people that are out there, I do think that Cochran has really turned a corner here. I mean, I thought Jeff had a keen observation about Cochran playing that last challenge without no shirt on. I kind of feel like with Cochran, and he has shown some ability. He was in the middle of that challenge there tonight. I just wonder if it's like without Ozzy yelling at him, telling him that he sucks. Like, I don't know if it was that he couldn't do it. I wonder if in the first time around, he was so nervous. Everybody telling him like, "Hey, Cochran, don't mess it up. Don't screw up. Look what you did, you little jerk." And he's basically like Kevin McAllister to that Savai tribe the whole time. And so he's like has it in his head that he stinks, whereas there's nobody telling him he sucks this whole season, and he's feeling good about himself.
It's quite the opposite, right? Like everyone was cooing over him in the beginning.
They love him.
Yeah, I think that Dawn, though. Dawn, like as a potential gamer here, because like she made real, you know, the key moves in this game, Dawn made, right? Like the ones that Philip didn't make, Dawn made.
Yeah, Dawn's been a part of some big moves. She was a great gatherer of intelligence throughout this season. But I would say, I don't know if it's Dawn that's acting on the intelligence. Like, I don't think...
Well, you just gave Cochran credit for bringing the intelligence.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. That's a fair point. All right, let's take some questions here. And then we have a lot to talk about. Let's bring in Jessica Frey, who was where she was very upset about Malcolm going home. She seemed to be smiling when we brought her on today. Jessica, were you happy to see Andrea go?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a good, you know, hopefully, you know, Cochran can keep it up. He can win, or maybe Eric for some strange reason, or Brenda. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. Do you feel some payback for Malcolm going home last week?
A little, but then Andrea gets to be in Ponderosa with, you know, Malcolm and Randall. And
okay. So be very jealous of Andrea. All right, Jessica, let's fire away with some questions here tonight from you guys on a Survivor Know-It-Alls Wednesday. Big podcast coming tomorrow. Going to speak with the original winner of Survivor, Richard Hatch, on the podcast. And that podcast is actually going to be, I'm going to record that. My schedule is a little off tomorrow. I'm going to record that first thing in the morning because in the afternoon, I'm going to be going to visit with another Survivor winner. I'm going to be with Parvati on the Survivor After Show on Thursday. So I'm going to need your questions for Richard Hatch in the Facebook page tonight on Wednesday night, which we normally have that on Thursday. So
can I submit my question right now?
Sure. What's your question for Richard Hatch?
Well, so in All Stars, Hatch famously pioneered the no strategy strategy. And I want to hear if he thinks that anyone, perhaps Eric Reichenbach, is playing with the strategy now.
All right. Let's take some of your questions. Fire away. Here we go. From Tom Riley. I wonder why Reynolds and Eddie failed to coordinate their votes. Reynolds voted for Sherry. Eddie voted for Eric. Now,
that was so weird.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what they're doing. They didn't even vote for the same person, which was bizarre. If Reynolds had voted for Eddie, would it have at least been a tie vote?
Oh, I don't know. That's interesting.
I think it would, but it's still, I guess Reynolds still goes home. I guess they realized it was that hopeless, so they just voted for whoever they hated, I guess.
I almost wondered if there was a revote and they just like cut it out because it didn't matter. Anyway.
Okay. Here we go. So next question. Erin Elise wants to know, do you think Andrea could have pulled off the Brenda blindside if she had been a little less nagging about it? Well, you know what? I think, Stephen, for Andrea, I think what happened here was sort of a half measure of this blindside of Brenda. It was like she tried to put it out there. It didn't have enough support, and it lingered like a fart. And because it didn't go through, we didn't see it, or it didn't come together, then the remnants of it came back and destroyed Andrea.
And I think too that I think also she shouldn't have mentioned Brenda or Dawn. You know, I think if she had just said one person and focus her energy on that, that would have been good. But by saying two people, like one, not only does she get Cochran defensive about Dawn, but she also just makes it look like she's up for anybody. And I think that makes her just look too aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a weird move to say, let's blindside, what do you want to do? Sherry or Dawn or Brenda or whoever. I don't care. Just give me a blindside.
Yeah.
Blindside time. Oh, okay. All right, this is from Real Tom Freestead wants to know, does Stephen Fishback agree that Andrea's boot parallels Brendan's boot in Survivor Token Teens, i.e. announcing their idol before a crafty blindside?
Sure. Okay. I think it's not just similar. Like, I think they had similar roles. Like, they were nominally the heads of their alliances, but, like, really never had that kind of power. Yeah, I think there's some parallels there.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Let's keep going. Let's get more questions from you guys. Send them in at hashtag RHAP or post your comments on YouTube. And if you post your comments tonight on YouTube, I'm going to go through and I'll answer your comments on the YouTube video itself. When you comment on YouTube, I'll answer a bunch of your comments tonight later on. Here we go. This is from Michael D. Norris. Shouldn't Eric have told Andrea and Eddie about the plan and flipped? He'd finally be in a solid group of three, and they'd have an idol. Shouldn't Eric have told Andrea and Eddie about the plan and flipped to them? Isn't that still only three out of seven?
Yeah, I don't think they wouldn't have the number. I mean, the thing is, like, they split the votes, right? Didn't they split between Andrea and Eddie? But they still wouldn't have had enough. They still would have had three, and there would have been three on Andrea and then they would have had three on someone else.
And the problem is you're assuming that Andrea knows they're going to split the votes, and they didn't tell Andrea and Eddie. So basically that move would have to be if Mr. Reichenbach was if this was one of his master plans, then he could, and Eric was besides himself tonight, Stephen, when they did that they did an immunity challenge instead of a reward challenge. Like, oh man, this game is, you know, it's once I'm always surprised in this game.
It's hard. It's a hard game. he had a breakdown about this. You know, this interesting. Incidentally, this is Andrea went out day 32 in Redemption Island. Day 33 this time. So, you know, interesting.
Then she came back.
The more you know. Yeah, that's right. But she was voted out. Rob says, Janino, this question is for you. Contreras Greg wants to know, no one is sure what's Brenda game. Do you think there is anyone she's playing, like maybe a Serene S12 or Jerry in S20? Hashtag RHAP. As soon as his name is mentioned. Oh, it's horrible.
Yes.
Well, I'll answer this for Rob. No, there's no one she's playing like. Every individual is unique. Every person is a snowflake, and there are no parallels between anyone. That's what Rob would have said.
Yeah, it's hard to do comparisons between the seasons. You know, when it's all said and done, I think we'd have a little bit of a better sense to be able to do that. But Jerry in Heroes versus Villains is probably not a poor comparison.
Yeah, I like that too.
Okay. Let's go to Cabbage Zombie. Rob, does Eddie have a chance from an in-game perspective? We may dislike him, but Cochran thinks he has a chance. I guess this could be like one of those things like South Pacific where everybody who was there said Brandon Hance had a chance. From what I've seen, I don't see how Eddie has a chance. I think that Cochran is sort of like being like, sure, the one guy we think doesn't have a chance, watch him go and win it.
Right, and also, like, he also wants to dissuade Andrea. His motivation is to dissuade Andrea from, like, sticking with Eddie, right? Like, he doesn't want Eddie around less because of Eddie's position in the final three than because of Eddie as a sure vote, you know, gives power within the favorite tribe to Andrea. So I think it's a smart move for Cochran to kind of break that up.
All right, couple more questions. This is from Nick2S. Have you ever feared that something you said or did on Survivor or even on the podcast would scare your mother? Stephen, were you ever afraid that anything you did on Survivor would scare yo mama?
It's funny that he was like, the person I'm becoming would terrify my mom. And last week with a letter, he said something along the lines of, you know, it's gratifying to know that I still have love for my parents after, you know, 21 days of playing this game. His mother, I guess, must be easily frightened.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Would Cochran's mom be upset that he's playing a good game on Survivor?
No, I love it. His mom would be so proud of him, right?
Yeah. So you would think so. But maybe she scares easily. Who knows?
No.
But if she saw that sunburn he got, she'd be scared.
That's true. That is true. Yeah.
Oh, my boy Cochran. Oh, my God. She would be scared then.
That's such a great impression. You've nailed it.
All right. Here we go.
Biggest mistake, telling Cochran that she wanted Dawn out.
Well, Andrea's biggest mistake. Yeah. Was that it? Can we go further back?
Yeah, I think early on. I think she, just the whole time, she's played a little bit too aggressively. I mean, to be fair to Andrea, she got really unlucky that Philip was voted out, right? I mean, Philip was a perfect... She had a perfect relationship with Philip, and you know, who could have foreseen that like massive idling?
Yeah. How does the season go different? I know we haven't seen the whole thing play out yet, but if the favorites decide to vote out Sherry at that point and don't even mess with the amigos and their idols, you would think eventually they'd get the amigos out of the game. Just like keep chopping away. You get one, okay? Maybe you vote off Ice Cream Scooper Eric, and then you get another one. And then that guy wins immunity. You know, eventually you get them. Does Philip and Andrea make the final three?
I think so. I mean, you know, I think it's possible that, like, I don't know, because they're less liked. I mean, they're of the two pairs, Dawn and Cochran and Philip and Andrea, I think Philip and Andrea are less liked than Dawn and Cochran are, which might make them better, you know, people would choose to go to the end with them.
Okay. One more question about this episode. Steven, from Ash's Dream Board. Should Eric have voted out Eddie instead of Andrea if he wants to go on a challenge run to the end? Well, you are the expert on all things Reichenbach, Steven. Why not vote off Eddie?
Look, I want to specify that, like, obviously my speculations about Eric are highly hypothetical or imaginary, but just because we don't know, you know, I think we, you know, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's a very, he's a unique thinker.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. good stuff. All right. So I told you about the podcast coming tomorrow, Richard Hatch. Before I let you go, Steven, I wanted to ask you about something interesting in the news this week, which we don't normally, non-Survivor related at all. So one of the big stories that happened this week was NBA basketball player Jason Collins. He announced that he is actually gay. Was the first athlete in the major four professional sports to openly admit that they're gay. It was a whole big thing. The president called him. But, Steven, this is actually one of your high school classmates, correct?
That's right. Yeah, I was in a high school class with Jason. And, in fact, we were in a programming class. We programmed a Turbo Pascal together in ninth grade. So, that gives me some unique insight, I think, into his psyche. It's funny that we had his brother Jaron is obviously another, you know, professional basketball player. And we had, you know, this high school full of just people. And then suddenly you had these like two future pro ball players. So suddenly our ranking in the division skyrocketed significantly.
Wow. And yes, and your historical rankings has skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Yes. Very, very interesting. You've had such an amazing, this is all going to be such an interesting part of the Stephen Fishback movie.
I think so. I think this is going to be an important part of it.
Stephen, who's getting a fishy this week?
I got to give it to Cochran. I thought that tribal council was great. I thought, I think he just, I think right now the game came down to sort of Cochran versus Andrea. And I think, clearly he outplayed her.
When are you going to put your money where your mouth is? When is Eric Reichenbach getting a fishy, Stephen?
You know what? I thought about it for this week because I thought that there was a lot of good things Eric did. He didn't object to the idol. You know, he just continually remains unobtrusive. He's just at the mercy, and he's such a good player. I just thought that I would get overwhelmed with hatred, so I decided not to.
All right. All right. Great job here tonight, Stephen Fishback. And thank you, Jessica Frey. So, yeah, Hatchcast coming up tomorrow. I'm going to post the link on Facebook to post your questions for Hatch later on tonight. I'll be on the Survivor After Show tomorrow. So look for that. I think they actually post that on Friday. So a lot of good stuff coming up. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've got lots of reality TV interviews and finale discussion coming along the way. We are in the rapture right now. So this is going to be a crazy next couple 18 or 19 days as we are wrapping up all of the reality TV finales here along the way until either that or until I just pass out from all of this reality TV. Okay?
All right. It was a fun show, Rob. Thanks a lot.
Fun show. We will speak with the latest two players eliminated from the game tomorrow morning in our exit interviews. And talk to you guys then. Hatchcast coming tomorrow. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.